The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is December 21st, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials. That's www.docspreferred.com. Dr. Wong is on here monthly, but starting in 2016, every other month he will be on twice a month. And that was by request. People love him. The guy's outstanding. So go out to docspreferred.com, and he does sponsor me for Iceland. Secondly, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. They are sponsoring me, too. They sent me a diamond bar, which is an oversized trap bar you can use for your power rack, and you can press with it, et cetera, et cetera. It's an incredible bar. Let's see. Bert's on here monthly. I hope to have his father on here probably every other month starting in 2016, Richard, and I thank them like Dr. Wong for their generosity. Next, we have Hearts Collision. That's for New York State residents. That's heartscollision.com. You can call them at 518-477-7937. And also, too, we want to welcome a new sponsor here, planayearofworkouts.com. That's our good friend Jason Fulner. You can go there, you can order directly from his site, or you can get it at Amazon Prime for $5, no shipping. I just got one the other day. It's a really nice setup. It's about 8 by 6 inches, and it does lay flat on anything you set it down on. What he's got going in there, too, after the 24th workout, there's a section to track your progress and set new goals. So for $5, I mean, it's well worth it. Jason is he's been in martial arts for 23 years, and as he says, he's been pumping iron for 18 years. But this is the best. He listens to Motivation and Muscle in a shed in his backyard where he trains. See, that's what we're all about. We're all about making things as hard as they can, and you go out there and you fucking beat the shit out of everything. And right now, I'm in a real fucking rotten, really aggressive mood, so I'd be prepared from the beginning, because who knows what's going to come out of my mouth today. So get ready. Don't forget, top 10 ways to build mind and muscle at Fiorello Barbell Co. It's a free book, ebook. Download it. People have been going bananas on it. I'm very happy about it. 10 paragraphs to make you think, stretch your brain a little bit, commit to something, go out and take action. That's what it's all about. There's no get rich schemes, and there's no getting whatever you want physical in 90 days. And I don't give a shit what you're injecting in you or what you're taking orally or whoever's telling you if you do the banana fucking move, you're going to get, 30 pounds of muscle. They're bullshitting you, man. You want the real honest truth? Come here. Fiorello Barbell Company, Motivation, Muscle, join our family. Here's the next two. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. They are in the process. They are launching as we speak right now. The video, the sales funnels, everything. I'll know more this week, but everything looks, I hope by Christmas, everything is done. We're out there. You like them. You want to get into them. You want to buy them. You want to change your life. That's what we're here for. We got solutions, not bullshit, not verbiage. We got plenty of content and talk, but it's all the real deal. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check both of them out. Also, too, sponsorship is huge here. Right now, for December and January, $100 buys you 5 to 15 shows. We are going to be 10 million strong. Huge. Come join us. Come join our family. Get into it, man. This is the way to go. We've got it right here. Also, too, sponsorship will also send $30 to Muscular Dystrophy. And as you know, that's what both sites are, and the whole business is dedicated to my brother Jimmy that died of muscular dystrophy. If these kids in this weather get a cold, it can turn into pneumonia like him, and it killed him. So it's very big stuff. We want to be part of you. You be part of us for the next 25 years. And Chris Bigelow does everything here, monsterdevelopment.com, 800-687-1609. You know, especially with the download of the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, we really want a lot of feedback from everybody. You know, and you can go out to motivationmuscle.com, leave a comment. We're real interested in what you think, what you're looking for 2016. We've got some new people coming in 16 already. Very interesting people, especially if you like stones. I'll give you that little hint. Obviously, everyone knows Brooks Kubik is back with us every month now. We've got the best of the best. And speaking of the best of the best, we've got John Hart on with us today. John's a regular on here every month, and I'm going to give you a little bit about John, and then John can update anything with us. John's a natural bodybuilder. He's a Mr. America winner in 2013. He's a powerlifter, trainer, and he's an author of two books. And today we're going to talk about the last time we did a show on legs, which really, really hit the beam hard with people. And we're going to talk about back training today. So, John, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, my friend.
Ah, Eric, thank you. Thank you. You're right. Last time we did have a blast talking about squats. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That was something.
And it was well received, too, believe me.
Yeah. I heard it was a lot of fun and today we're going to talk about the back.
Yeah.
I mean, we're hitting some big ones, man. Me and you, this is a, you know, and I have to say that the inspiration, you know, for that on my end came from watching one of your videos. Actually, I watched you in a squat rack. You had a pile of weight on there, 500 pounds or so. And you had the weight pinned up about 3 inches apart or so. And I saw you squat up against the pins and blast through that thing and practically rock the building. And I went,
yeah,
man, we need to talk back too.
Yeah.
This.
Well,
yeah.
Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
Because this became so, so fundamental that there is no squatting, you know, without the back. There is no, we don't have, you know, real squats going on without the back. And it's so vital towards our long-term health and strength, and it's got to be the foundation. We say our legs, but obviously everything is connected to our back and our nervous system. And so, yeah, I'm excited to talk about this today. It's going to be a quick hit. You and I know it. We're going to go right to it. But please, what were you about to say?
Well, no, I do want you to give your website and everything out before we get going. I really do.
Okay.
I want, you know,
sure.
Yeah.
My website is intenseheart.com, and for those who don't know, my last name is spelled H-E-A-R-T, like the heart. So just, you know, type out intenseheart, I-N-T-E-N-S-E-H-E-A-R-T.com. And, you know, I'm also out there on social media. On Facebook, you could find me. I have an athlete page out there. Instagram, you could find it at WNBF, _LA. That's the show that my wife and myself are promoting this year out in Los Angeles, June 18th. We have the WNBF, that's the World Natural Bodybuilding Federation, LA Championships. So it's really breaking open Southern California to the natural end of the sport, you know, in a big way. So we're excited about that, June 18th in LA. So you can find that through Instagram. And I'm also out there on Twitter at @jhart. M-R-A, like Mr. A, right?
So, Mr. A.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, before we go in, I can't really say it, but I'll tell you some stuff off the air, but I just want everybody to know, if things go to calculations, wait till you see what's going to happen to Motivation and Muscle next year. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm talking very, very serious things. That's why I don't want to make any announcements and end up having to stick my foot back in my mouth. But if things go as calculated, this is going to be nothing like you've ever heard before.
Well, couldn't happen to a better man. I'm gonna put that out there right now. That
thanks, John.
You know, the seed that you sow every single month of information, you do it on behalf of your brother Jimmy. I know that you know, you always mention him. And, you know, that's from the heart. And I know that, you know, your purpose in doing this is much greater, and that the listeners, for those who, you know, are first timers, hang on. It's a great ride. And I,
hell yeah, man. You know, and you know what the thing, I mean, I thanked you and everybody. You know, I can't do this without everybody participating in it. I've got the best group of people, as far as I know, out of anybody who's running a podcast. And I'm not saying this just me. This is the feedback I'm getting all over the place. When Brooks came back here, one of the first things he said to me, he goes, I've heard some great things about you out there. You know, there's a guy heavily involved in the community out there. You know, we're not fooling around here. We're going to do everything we can to help everybody we can. And I've said this a million times, and John can attest to this. I've said on more than one show, I don't care if you lift a 450-pound stone or a 130-pound stone. You're welcome at my table. I don't care. So I don't want anybody to be shy out there or, oh, I don't know if I can sign up for that ebook. Come on in. If you got questions, you know, FiorelloBarbell@nicap.r.com. Let's start 2016 out. Let's just level the fucking world, man. I mean it. We need people out there. They're going to have solutions. We need strength. We need great fathers and mothers because we got a lot of kids out there and adults that don't know where the fuck they belong, don't know what to do. They're scratching their head. They're depressed. They're this, they're that. Let me tell you, John can tell you this right off the bat, that working out alone, I think, you know, obviously there are some medical conditions. We know that, all right? But what we offer here is not only the mental side and the physical side, but we offer a spiritual side, I believe, that's different to everybody else. And what we do here, listen to John talk, listen to me talk, the passion in our voices.
Yeah.
And I know, I get out of hand. I'll tell everybody out there, I've had major system problems for the last over 24 hours. I lost both of my websites, all right? This shit happens, all right? I realize that, but we're in the process right now of launching products that are launching by the second with all the new stuff. You know, I can't go out and blog. I've got people that have sent me articles for blogs I haven't been able to put up. We're behind in podcasts. You know, we want to keep offering you everything we can, but when you see if this goes through with the podcast show, wait till you see what's going to happen, and it might happen as early as by the end of next month. So all I can tell you, you'll hear more about it. Buckle up. But John, let's talk about. Go ahead. If you got anything you want to add to it, I'm not cutting you off.
No, I'm excited. Okay, so
it's funny, John. They a couple of these guys they're laughing, but not in a bad way. They said to me, we all call you now the workhorse. Because they said, we see you constantly out on Facebook or you're up on or out on Skype. You're all over the place, and we know you're working. And the ones that know me know what's going on here quite a bit, you know. But I'm like anybody. If you want it, you got to work hard, and you got to be willing to work that much harder 7 days a week. Okay. And you can't take no for an answer. And the ones that don't work out, I hate to say it, have to go. I'm facing a lot of things right now with a lot of that stuff. If you can't measure up, you know, this is not a daycare center here, you know. and I got to make it plain that it's a business. You know, you run business.
Yes.
You know the deal. And you have to look out for those around you and yourself first, and you have to be loyal to one another and this and that. If I can't have that, I can't, you know, it just can't be part of this company anymore. And we're pretty blessed. We've got most of that. But like anything, there are some changes I'm in the process of making. I'm not great. They're not the best I don't like some of it, but it has to be done to keep promoting and building the business higher and higher, because my standards are just way too high probably. And that's my big problem. But you know what? I ain't changing, man. That's the end of that.
Not a problem.
All right. Well, you understand, you know the deal. This is exciting. Back. I think the back out of all the body parts is the sexiest part of everybody. Look at anybody that's got a back. I mean, really developed. I don't care, man or woman. Because everything kind of falls into shape. When you look at the back, you know, you're looking at usually smoking, molded shoulders, okay? You know, deltoids are just bursting, traps. You know, think about everything. You're looking at scapula. You're looking at, I always call them the boa constrictors running down your back. I can't believe I can't think of the friggin' word. What the hell, you know, that run down the middle of your back.
Erectors.
Yes, yeah, spinal erectors. I mean, think about that. And, you know, before we get into a lot of the exercises, I'm going to tell you this. If you look at a real Olympic lifter, I'm talking like, and it doesn't have to be, think about like Rieger. Or, you know, do you remember years ago that picture of Aholo on Iron, did you ever see the picture of him on the cover of Milo magazine?
Milo magazine, yes.
That dude's back, and I love to hear him say, well, he was only 275 pounds. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
His
back, I swear to God, you could put your fist in the middle of his back and it'd disappear.
Right.
But John, what do you think? I mean, and you know, and we know bodybuilders. I mean, they're, you know, look at, we can look at the old school guys, obviously the newer guys, but everybody's probably always going to compare to like a Dorian Yates for, yeah. I mean, you look at him now, yeah, there are some bigger, but I'm talking as far as a guy that was kind of split. He was more like the older style where, you know, a lot of them Olympic lifted and they bodybuilded, and a lot of them did guest train, you know, back in the day, they used to have meets before they'd go and pose on stage, so... Well, how do you define, you know, a big, strong back? What are there people that are examples that you feel would fit the bill there?
Whew, wow. You hammered the first one that does come to my mind was Dorian Yates, you know. And also you mentioned the two others right there. I mean, you know, Rieger especially.
Yep.
You know, that was right away when you said him. And I'll tell you what, the thing about it when – as far as defining it, you know, I agree with you when you said, man, it's the sexiest body part. There's something about it. It's the other word that comes to my mind is the depth, okay?
Yep.
There's a depth when you see a beautifully developed back. And the irony about it is it doesn't even necessarily have to be super lean because
– correct.
It's nice if it is because then you could see insertions and things like that, okay?
Yep.
But
–
the amazing thing about it is just the raw power that comes out of it from the traps down to the erectors, like you said, and the depth of those erectors and the mid back. Now, we're not even talking about the width of a lat or the or the rear delts, the rotator cuff muscles of those teres major and minor and the infraspinatus, those little ones up near the shoulder blade area. I mean, they're all awesome. And here's the amazing thing about it is that when you talk to me about, you know, being a not just a mental and a physical show, but being spiritually minded as well. See, to me, this is where we come into just a God orchestrated and created specimen. OK, the human back. I mean, if there's ever evidence right there, I know a lot of people out there don't want to hear it, but that's fine. OK, because like you said, we're going to slap you in the face with it. OK. So, I'm a believer.
Yeah.
I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I'm one. Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Here's the thing is, you know, when we see that beautifully developed back, right? Now, the guys that you mentioned, okay, you talked about how back in the day, how there used to be, you know, Olympic lifting contests, weightlifting contests prior to the bodybuilding contest. Back in the day, you know, there was a priority set upon the strength, the functionality. You know, that was the priority. It wasn't a pretty looking back. That was the side effect, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That came from such, you know, great training. So I believe that they did have it right in truth that, you know, the functionality, the strength of that back, when you're talking about ultimately you can't have the pretty back without the first, the functionality. And if you do have a pretty back and for some reason it doesn't function anymore, it's only a matter of time before it shrinks up to nothing, whether that's from an injury or blown discs or whatever the deal is. But, you know, the truth is, you know, the understanding the function. So I'm not going to go into a huge biology lesson here, but I am going to say, okay, that some of the critical biggest mistakes that I do see, you know, people doing when they are lifting, and we'll get to the exercises, but, you know, and I'll mention some along the way, but some of the critical mistakes that I do see is, you know, in basic bio 101, I learned at least that, you know, the number of degrees that your lumbar spine is meant to flex or extend, it's not a whole lot. Okay.
Right.
This is so vitally important. Eric, when I see you lifting those stones, okay, you're down in a full squat, okay? Your hips down near the ground. I see you doing it, okay? There's a picture right here in front of me of you doing it on my Skype right now, okay?
Yep.
And
yep.
When you're down there picking up that stone, okay, believe it or not, your lower back is not hyperextended, opened, and rounded so much. You have some really good hip mobility. You're down there in a full squat. That back of yours is meant to be stable. It's meant to, you know, for stability purposes, okay? So when we bend over and pick something up, I mean, if you're going to open up that spine, you know, more than 30 degrees or so, okay, you're opening yourself up to potential injury to those discs that are not, you know, I mean, for the most part, a lot of them are not reversible, you know. Some of them will suffer with for the rest of their lives. So my point in this is, what's so essential to make sure that you can simply bend over and pick something up that weighs a ton, okay? And one of the things that you really need is hamstring flexibility for the health of your lower back, for God's sakes, okay?
Yep.
Everybody out there, hear me on this one. Hamstring flexibility. If your hamstrings are nice and loose, your lower back will not have to open up too much when you go to pick something up, okay? This is basic everyday living now that I'm talking about. Now, when it comes to lifting, of course, the same thing applies. The guys that are deadlifting, doing bent over rows, the guys that are picking up big stones off the ground, the guys that are, you know, realistic now, okay? You can't do those things, you know, for any length of time. If you have tight hamstrings, it's only a matter of time before that lower back opens up a little too much, it's been stressed out too much, and you're going to end up in trouble. And something's going to pop, something's going to, you know, tweak out a little bit, and it's going to be trouble. You're going to find yourself in front of a good chiropractor, hopefully, or, you know, even worse, you know, an orthopedic guy, which I hope and pray you don't, okay, end up in front. Orthopedic surgeons do one thing. They surgerize, just so that you know.
Yeah.
Okay, for the most part, they're going to go for surgery. So I don't like it when I hear guys talking about how they end up at an orthopedic right away. Okay, they should seek out other forms of therapy, like you and I have been through many times. We've talked about it many times. You know, having a good chiropractor, a good soft tissue guy or girl, you know, knowing somebody who knows the body and knows how to work that back and break up scar tissue and how to work those hamstrings and break up scar tissue and keep them nice and loose. So I hope that message has gotten through, Eric, you know, that the listeners are hearing that I have that concern for a lot of you guys and girls out there, that those hamstrings, they remain nice and loose and they allow your back to move in just the way it's supposed to without it overextending. Okay. That's when we end up a lot of problems, especially when you're handling big weights. Actually, it doesn't even take a lot of weight if you're overextending your lower back, doesn't
it? Yeah.
No?
You can hurt it easy.
Easily will hurt it.
Yep.
And then,
go ahead. Well, that's one of the things, you know, we're talking about squat and whether it's dead stop or whatever, and the massive load it does put on the back, because when you're coming off rods like that, remember, there's no rebound. All the tension is at the bottom. Yep. So when you're coming up, you've got to put everything from head to toe, because I'll tell you one thing, the pressure on your body is like nothing you've ever felt before. To exert that much power to be able to drive something off those rods like that is pretty incredible. And it's not something that you're just going to do overnight. That's going to take you a long time to get that down, because I remember when I started with those, you know, there was no problem squatting big, huge weights. So let me tell you something. When you go to that style of training, that's going to put you right in your place. And if you got an ego, you're not going to be able to do this stuff, because your ego, you're going to have to park, because you are going to lose. I don't know. I think I lost about 200 or more off my squat when I first tried those, because You are not going to come in and blow a 750 or whatever you're hitting and think you're going to get right in that racket parallel and come up with that. I think if you're lucky, and I wouldn't even try it, you might be able to come up with 450 maximum. The shearing effect on your body is totally different, and it does build some super thickness all through you. But, you know, that's just one thing. I mean, when we look at stuff, you know, everybody's got their own thing. Everybody knows you need the pull. And you made a really good statement there about the middle of the back, which few people know how to hit. And I read a very interesting article. This had to be about, I'd say, close to 10 years ago. We got really into this back stuff big time, and I have an original. Michael Yeses was the one that, as far as I know, was the first one to build a real glute ham machine. And he had been over in Russia, I think it was in the 70s, maybe late 60s too. He was around when Alexei and Riegert and all the big gymnasts and all that were around. And he noticed one thing that they were doing a lot. And what they do is you know, I don't know what you call them. You know, you line them all across the wall. They look like rods, and they're all out of wood, and you'll scale them, okay? What these guys used to do is they'd lock their feet into those, and they'd stretch their body over a pommel horse. So figure from belly button to your head, you were like draped over it, and your eyes were like looking right at the floor.
Right.
Well, some of them would do it weightless, others would do it with a bar on them, and he said he watched these guys and they would explode these enormous weights off them, and you know, you look at their backs and it was like, holy shit. Now, you know, we here in the United States, you know, guys back then like Joe Doobie and the Olympic guys back then, they were all using, you know, the same stuff not the same stuff. They're using hyperextension, but this was totally different.
Right.
Well, they'd gone over and studied these guys because, you know, it's like, what do they got that we don't? And I know the first thing that'll come to a lot of people's minds is better drugs, but here, regardless, all right, they had a certain way of how they train things. And, they brought that back here, and they started doing makeshift things. So there was a big article. I wish I had pulled it out because I didn't know we were going to get into this, but I'll look for it and see you on the next show. Yeah. I'll read about it. So they had a big thing written in the old Perry Rader Iron Man, and I was just going through. I like to go through them again and again, the old books, and holy shit, there it is. And they show one of the – I think it was either Ukraine or Russian athlete. Dude, his back was unbelievable, and I'm talking unbelievable, right? And one of the two things that they do, which is real interesting, this is going to answer the middle of the back question to you, is this. They would do those because obviously when you're doing those that glute ham stuff or whatever you're keying on with the back, because I have a whole book from Michael Yeses that gives you every movement you can do with it.
Right.
They did the bent row, but this is the best thing. They did a close grip bent row.
Right.
And by that I mean is you had everything right about to the end of the knurling, because if you're pretty big, your lats and stuff, and you try to go in the middle of it, it's almost – well, I can't row it like that. I just can't do it. I've got to have – I'm spread probably about 6 inches apart. You'll know if you're doing them right because the middle of your back will – it'll like pull.
Yep.
You'll feel that. Well, let me tell you something. You could make a living – off those bent rows and that glute ham machine if you do them properly and practice them properly. And I'll tell you what, it's an incredible thing. But, you know, obviously we know we'll start – I'll send it right back to you. But, we'll talk about overhead. I mean, how much muscular in the back you can get with that. And obviously the stalwart deadlifts,
yeah,
tire flips, farmer's walks.
Yeah.
But go ahead, John. You know, I mean, obviously I know you've done probably close grip rows, they're phenomenal exercise. And you know something? The bent row, let's forget about the close grip. That's been lost.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if you and I talked about it on the last show, but I've been bringing this up a lot. You know, like dips,
yep,
pullovers,
yep,
bent rows, all these old movements that really, really caused gains. For one thing or another, they've been lost. And I have a feeling because they are pretty hard to do, but they're not glamorous. Most gyms would probably frown. I know you can still dip in most places,
sure,
but a pullover, well, yeah, if you're laying across. What I'm talking about is laying flat on your back and do a straight arm.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Obviously, too. Let's get into bent rows, but take that away.
So the bent rows, it's interesting you say that because The history behind this one is very interesting, and it goes back to one of the names that we just brought up right at the beginning of the show. Dorian Yates changed the landscape of training when it came to rowing motions, okay? He showed up on the scene, and in his case, he had found that doing a bent-over row not all the way over, in other words, he was going only about, you know, 65, 70 degrees over and using an under grip, okay, a curl-style grip, and it was fairly narrow, just like you just described, okay?
Yep.
That
yep.
type of a grip for him, along with that angle, really expanded on his back development and changed a lot of things for him. And because he showed up on the scene with such a fabulous back, he literally, being Mr. Olympia for 6 years in a row, he literally changed the landscape all throughout, not just our country, but around the world. And by far and away, that other version of the row wherein, you know, the guys only and girls only go over about 70 or 65 degrees and pull it up to the hip with an undergrip, that version of the row is 1,000% more popular. Now, I didn't say effective, but popular around the world because they don't have to bend over as much. Okay, the old style bent over row, the old style, happens to be one of my favorites. Of course, you know, you and I see a lot eye to eye on a lot of things, and this is the way it's gone. And that one, of course, has been one of my favorites of all time, you know, primarily responsible for, you know, my own back development. While I like the other ones, the simple bent over row, but here's the catch. There's a huge asterisk and parentheses that goes around this one, and that is, why did the guys hurt their, a lot of them hurt their backs doing those bent over rows? And I'm going to say it one last time. I'm not going to hit on it through the whole show and whine at anybody, but man, if they had looser hamstrings, they never would have hurt their stinking lower backs, okay? That's the truth. If you have nice loose hamstrings, you can get over there and you'll be fine. You can keep a nice little arch to your lower back and blast some weight up and, you know, haul it up and you get nice thick lats, rhomboids, erectors, mid-back. You'll get it all. And you can also do them, yeah, with a standard overhand grip, or you can take a closer grip like you're just mentioning, which, you know, in essence, when you have that closer grip, you end up pulling the bar in a little bit closer to your hip. It does hit the bulk of that inner back and lat, man. Oh, and those erectors get hit too, you know. So it's exciting when you do them right and you connect with them right. But I'm going to also add to that that just like you said about going into dead stop squatting, okay, when you go and you get all excited after hearing you and me talk about these bent over rows just now, when you guys go and you hit the gym, you're going to do this exercise, besides loosening up your hamstrings, whatever you do, okay, if you're used to rowing 225, 315, whatever, however much you're used to rowing doing that Dorian Yates style, just get over your own ego, lighten that weight up to nothing, make sure you're able to do it in good form, because you're going to screw yourself if you don't, okay? So that's primary, and you just tapped upon the primary exercise that I've done personally over the last, you know, 30 years is that one right there. And I love it, man. It's a fundamental primary movement. That deadlifts, of course, okay, two of them right off the bat. And I love discussing exercises with you, Eric, because, you know, we're in different disciplines, but there's so much crossover, you know?
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
And I cannot tell you how, you know, when I get to do a deadlift, you know, bent over rows, yes, deadlift. When I go to do a deadlift, that exercise is something that's just such a turn on about it. So second to squats in my mind, okay? And I think yours too, right? We discussed that last time.
Yeah,
second
absolutely.
Only to squats, okay? It's about the most primal, intense, all-out, victorious lift you can do in the gym, at home, the garage, wherever you're doing it. It is the exercise. You just need a barbell, some major weight, and you got to keep that bar up against your shins. Shoot, the powerlifters that introduced me to bodybuilding and powerlifting when I first started at the YMCA back in the, you know, mid-80s, they told me they want to see blood coming off of my shins.
Absolutely.
You know, because they emphasized how close that bar had to remain at the bottom to my body. They did not want that thing drifting away from my body. And so, you know, that's the way I was taught. And now that exercise, deadlifting, without a doubt, there is, as we said before, your lower back in a deadlift now is primarily remaining in a static contraction. It's not going, you know, you're not opening up your vertebrae when you're doing a deadlift. As a matter of fact, I can make the case that the majority of your back is in a static contraction when you go to lift that weight up. There's a lot of movement from your hip and, of course, the hamstrings. But when you do come up, everything up the backside of your body from your Achilles tendons straight up to your the base of your neck is being used, and shoot, your quads are even being used and all your hip flexors. So there's
you're smoking.
There's a lot going on, okay? But man,
well, you know what, John, too, though? I didn't mean to interrupt you either. It's, you know, the deadlift is great. I'll tell you what I like more now, obviously, because with the bicep tear I had, you know, 7 years ago, I use now a trap bar. I use, you know, Sorenex's bar that they sent me.
Sure.
But here's something, you know, when we were talking about rows, just to go back to that.
Yes.
Now, you want to make a living on getting damn big, and this goes way back.
All right, Eric.
Oh, dude, here we go. How about do a combo of dips. Are you there, John?
I'm here, bud.
We're getting the internet problems, but as long as we can keep going. Do a combo of dips and bent rows. I'm telling you right now, you'll have the biggest ass body you've ever seen in your life. And I mean, obviously, I'm talking for a short duration of time. Maybe you want to do this for a month.
Sure.
Or maybe you just want to do dips, bent rows, and dead stop squats, or dips, bent rows, and deadlifts.
Yep.
You know, go look at pictures of the great Marvin Eater.
Marvin Eater, yeah.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
That's right.
Over 400 pounds, weighing about 200.
Yep.
The guy, I think, did bolt upright, I want to say close to a 400-pound press,
yeah,
all right?
Yeah.
How many people, honestly, you know, could do a 400-pound press? Think about that. Maybe they can bench 600-700 pounds, but I guarantee you that's not going to equate to taking them off squat stands and pressing them, let alone trying to clean and press it, all right?
Right.
This is no screwing around. So the back muscles are just the PowerPoint of everything. You want to lift a big stone? There's two things you better have. Well, you have to have everything, but you better have a very strong back, very, very strong biceps, because I can attest to anything can happen with that stuff, but the bent row is better than a barbell curl to build biceps if done properly.
Wow.
Now,
true.
Now, okay, but I want to say something, too.
Go ahead.
I would still do bicep work. I'm not talking 800 sets. I'm talking going in, and this is how I do it now to stop me from going ballistic on that bicep, is I'll use either a 2 or 3 inch bar. Your grip is going to dictate how much you're going to curl that night, and I mean curl in a correct fashion. If you got to cheat it a little bit, that's all right. Because I got news for you. You want to really develop some back muscles? I'm not talking being ridiculous either. Go out and start cheating with a big, thick bar, and watch what happens. Your back will start growing too, because everything's got to feed into that curl. But I like doing that mainly, like I said, because it really preserves the arm integrity. I think you're using thick bars. Now, we all know thick bars work the fingers, hands, wrists,
yes,
forearms, biceps, shoulders, everything. I mean, it hits everything. So never forget about using thick bars to continually, you know, upgrade your training, no matter what you do. You know, it's exciting because take a 2 or 3 inch bar and do a bent row. Do a deadlift, okay? Clean that thing and press it over your head. And then when it gets too heavy and you still got some shit, pull out your squat stands, baby. Lay them on top of that. Get on that thing, right? Fire that bitch right up over your head, man. And tell me this. What feels better when you're standing there with something locked out over your head and you're holding it and you're like, ha, 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 right? You know, I mean, and then you let it down and rack it. What? I'm telling you, it feels as good as any other lift you could ever do.
See,
you know?
And here's the irony in what we're talking about now, too, is that, you know, myself being like the bodybuilder, okay?
Yep.
And I'll just say it straight out, okay? Guys in the gym, when they train their back, you know, they get really silly. Okay, I'm saying specifically in the gym, not necessarily in the garage, because they usually don't have enough equipment to do it in a garage, okay? But when they get to a gym and they see all this fancy schmancy equipment, they get out of their minds doing all these exercises that are just unnecessary, okay? So I'm not even talking today. We can cut out an hour's worth of conversation about a lot of the exercises which are just plain I'm not going to say useless. They have purposes, but we'll just say they're not necessary for this discussion today, because we're talking about the primal, animalistic, you know, getting down to it, building a solid core foundation. From last time we spoke the squat to this one, we're speaking about the back. And we are getting into mainly that mid-back area, those traps that when you talk about doing an overhead press, or when you talk about Marvin Eaton, 400 pounds overhead, when you're talking about, yep, you know, propelling a weight over your head, okay, and standing there with it, the column that you are holding that thing up with, okay, is not just your arms, it's not just your legs, obviously, but that spine of yours better be in some kind of shape to hold that weight in place. You're going to find out quick if something, if something is off, okay? So when you just mentioned that right now, you got me so excited, because the direction that we're going today, it really has to do with, you know, a combination of development coming from the functional exercises, such as, you know, a deadlift, a bent over row, you know, picking up a stone, picking up anything. I like to say picking up anything, okay? But especially a stone, because you got to get down there kind of deep, you know?
Very deep.
Yeah. And, you know, overhead pressing of any kind, doesn't matter if we're talking about, you know, throwing a barbell up there, throwing a sandbag up there, a stone, doesn't matter what you're putting up there, you best have your core strength comes not from this silliness, which I'm about to get into right now. I can't.
Right.
It really started to get me in the last 15 years. The word core started into play. Core training started coming into play. And honestly, look, when people ask me questions about, hey, John, when are we going to go and do some core work? And we just got done squatting. I look over at them and I say, you just did it, you know? Or they just deadlifted. You just did it. Or they just did barbell rows. You just did it. So I want to get that across, that the core of your body, you were never meant to do these wood choppers with a cable, okay? That's silliness, you know, in the real world, okay? If you're going to do a wood chop, you're going to get, you know, an axe, and you're going to chop wood for real, okay?
There you go, man.
In which case, in your part of the country, I know you need that stuff. You should be out there doing it, okay? It's good for you. But that'll be real core work right there and really functional as well. So I'm getting at the – to me, it's a big three, you know, combination. I don't want to leave out, you know, some direct trap work, because we talked about that last time about the Husa shrug and the So when we talk about it, right, we went right into barbell, bent over barbell rows, and we're talking about mainly the old school version. Love them.
Yep.
You know, I mean, if you're going to – you can play with the reps. The reps can be anywhere from a simple six. I actually like lower repetitions for bent over rows only because your lumbars don't have to hold you for too long, you know.
Right.
So when guys try to do, you know, higher repetitions, they don't realize the lower back is getting fatigued and it starts to open up too much. So I like it in the lower bracket repetition-wise. But then when we talk about deadlifting, of course – you know, there's many programs you can use on deadlifts. Of course, that's a whole show on its own, which I'm sure we're going to have. But then, you know, we talk about doing any sort of overhead pressing whatsoever, any type whatsoever, is going to involve not just your erectors holding you in place, but it's your entire core, everything wrapped around that abdomen, right from your belly button all the way back around to those vertebrae. Every bit of it is going to be used. And now we're talking about using some upper back muscle, those traps, those rotator cuffs, the shoulder joints. But when you do an overhead press of any kind, okay, those traps are getting activated along with those shoulders. And man, when you're talking about, you know, getting some serious power going, you got to have some strong traps too. So doing... You know, I loved it the last time when we were talking, and you brought up
high shrugs or look at
I said Husa. Right. I'm thinking you always mentioned the
stone. Well, I'll give you something you want to do. Get a good neck harness, preferably out of Iron Mind, and do a combo. You want to do? I was doing these for a while on my off days.
Yeah.
I do one set of 20, with the high shrugs and go right to the neck harness and do 120 with a given weight that day, your neck and your traps look like they're going to explode, literally. Do that for like a few weeks every other day, and then take like 2 weeks off and go back. And I'm telling you right now, you'll make gains through your traps and your neck like you never have before. Your neck will be so friggin' thick. And the beauty of it is when you're doing that with the direct high shrugs, you get it looks like then at that point the traps attach right into the side of your neck because they get so popped up, man. So that's just another thing. And here's another thing you can do with it too. You want to really get them to explode. In between, if you're only going to do one set, fine. Say you're maybe going to cut down and you're not going to do one set of 20. You want to do two sets of 10, same way with the neck, or two sets of 8, or you stagger them down. Have a small jar of Tiger Balm or some type of hot liniment. Rub that on your neck and on your traps. I swear to God, don't go nuts because you'll burn them, literally. They'll be so friggin' red and they'll peel. You do that lightly. Wait till you see the blood you'll get up in your neck and traps. I mean, your neck and traps will be pumped like they never have for a week almost. It'll be unbelievable. You won't be able to turn your head left or right. You'll be so fucking pumped up, man.
See, the fun part about it is when, you know, the guys, when we talk about like a high shrug and, you know, back in the day, I mean, and anybody who doesn't know what that is, you can Google it. You'll find, you know, images or video online. But the cool part about it is that a lot of these exercises were created by, you know, guys, you know, 40, 50, 80 years ago that, you know, they didn't have access to things that we have, in many gyms now made by manufacturers. But also, in some cases, just because it's an old exercise, it really is not, you know, for those of you who don't know, you know, a high shrug, you know, you have that bar up on your traps, you know, and to me, I get a great feeling from, you know, and and it, you know, along with your breathing, okay, you're lifting those shoulders up, you know, you don't have to use your hands as much. It's not the same, you know, as doing standard, you know, in the gym shrugs that people tend to do, and you can get some power moving those things. Your traps are not, your traps are another muscle that are not meant to move over a huge range of motion. Okay. So this thing that you hear about getting, you know, your shoulders all the way to your ears. Well,
yeah, that's a load of shit.
Yeah, in theory, it sounds great. You know, back in the day, you know, Ronnie Coleman had the most craziest traps of all the bodybuilders I've ever seen live in person, okay? Mm-hmm. And I watched him work out, okay? The guy did shrugs. He had the 200-pound dumbbells. He just picked them up like it was nothing, right? And he moved his shoulders about a half an inch up and down. I mean, that was about it.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking about you don't want to overextend your shoulders if you're doing any kind of a shrug. Doesn't matter what version it is. But for sure, it's a short motion. Your traps are, you know, like your back muscles. They're involved in a lot of static type contractions when you lift and carry things. They're meant to do very quick, powerful movements, you know. And it's usually over the short distance. So to me, over the years, I've come into it. I was so excited when you mentioned those shrugs last time, you know, to me, and I know if the listeners go back to our squat, you know, conversation, I think it was in that show that we talked about them.
Yeah,
that
it was,
you know, for me, I've come up with ways because I have trained in a garage. See, if you don't, if you don't have that advantage, okay, of training in a garage at some time in your life, and I just said an advantage, not a disadvantage, but an advantage. If you haven't had that advantage, then you're really missing out on a lot of the mass building exercises that are kind of tossed by the wayside when you get confused in all the lights and the glitz in a gym somewhere, you know? So
absolutely.
For me, it's very, very important. The back. And I know that you guys, you're going to want it. We got to do a part two to this show, Eric. We have to, you know?
I'll do it. I've got no problem with that.
I mean, right now we're at like, you know, I think
we got time.
Okay, I got a few minutes. Good. So,
and for everybody out there, I just posted our squat show again on Facebook. It's number 318.
Yeah.
So you can go out and listen to that again. I'll tell you what, there's a number of things, obviously, we all know we can do. The great thing is this, and we can do a second part on this, but, you know, I'll just name a group of things, and John can say yes or no if he's doing it. Here we go.
Yep.
Bent rows. Yes. No doubt about it. Over any type of overhead pressing, whether dumbbells, barbells, logs, yes. You name it, you do it, okay? Yes. Number three, dips. There's not, and I'm talking a dip executed properly. I like using what we got here. We built all ours out of 4x4 wood. Yeah. I felt it was a lot easier on the joints rather than metal. And one thing we did, I thought, which was pretty innovative, I never thought it was very good to have to climb up things when you had a lot of weight between your balls there, because you could end up losing them. Because how many times I've been pinched so many times with the chain and all that. So we made them basically where you'd walk right in. And all you have to do is get yourself up on the 4x4s and dip. So that's another one. Obviously, you know, we know bent rows, I said, but one-arm rows, yeah. Spectacular movement. I still think the big cheat curls with the 2-inch and 3-inch bar, without being ridiculous, I'm talking now.
That was a great suggestion, by the way. That one, the way you just said it, and I want everybody to know, he said it over and over again. Without getting ridiculous. He's talking about doing heavy cheat curls without getting ridiculous. When you cheat it, you're lowering it under control when you let that weight down. You're going to get massive biceps, too, from this. Go ahead.
Not only that, you don't want to, like, be bending your body over in half to get that thing pulled back. No. So that's the next thing. But then, you know, obviously now we're getting into a lot of the stuff that I really like to do. Obviously, sandbags. I think walking will build your back like no tomorrow. Obviously, bear hugging with the stuff. But then we know we're getting the strongman stuff. Stones, obviously, are huge for your back. Any type of tire flipping, of course, one of the best, if not in the top few, is the farmer's walk. I mean, unfriggin' believable. Now, we used to do a thing, too. The first time I went to Iceland that really helped me out was I was doing a lot of overhead walking. By this, I would power clean a barbell. We're talking an Olympic bar, not loaded with a ton of weight. It might not be any more than 90 pounds. Pull a distance, you know, it's pressed overhead, and you walk with it. When people talk about core, which I hate, I talk either midsection or abdominal area.
Yes.
You couldn't build a better thing, plus the balance, et cetera, et cetera. But I like to keep things at my side or in front of me. I think it's a lot safer. You know, when we're doing this stuff, remember this. Your safety is paramount, and that's one thing we want to stress here on this show is, you know, I don't want anybody going out and trying to be some kind of hero,
right,
and then you kill yourself or you hurt yourself and you're down for a long time. The thing with all this stuff is caution, yeah. Caution, caution. Don't be a candy cane with it, but also understand you're playing with – this stuff is what you and I talk about all the time. It's this head-to-toe movement. And when you're working the body as a whole, obviously it's better because you function as a whole. But don't – you know, there are limitations at first. You might – you know, you're going to explore and you're not going to get by them right away. So – gradually build. That's what we always talk about. Take steps.
Yes.
And as you take, you know, John, you know, add up 5 pounds every couple of weeks or 2.5 or whatever. Well, add that up over a month, even if it's 10 pounds. So add up that. That's 120 pounds in a year on your lift. That's huge. All right.
That's awesome. I want to add two pieces of equipment that I want everybody to hear me talk about and mention here is that right in line with what Eric just brought up, okay? He said going up in 2 pounds, 5 pounds. Okay, look, I have fractional plates, okay?
Yep.
I have them going down to 1/4 pound each, okay?
That's awesome.
If I want to go up 1/2 pound on something, I will. I have them in 1/4 pound, 1/2 pound, 3/4 pound, and 1 pound increments. Why do I do that? I do that because I know the science behind it. And just for some of you out there, your brain cannot pick up. If you increase a weight by anything up to 2%, your brain, yeah, it's impossible for your brain to pick it up. Your muscles will know what happened, okay, but your brain will not be able to pick it up. So that means for every 100 pounds, you know, if you're lifting something that weighs 100 pounds, you can go up to 102 or 101 3/4 and not feel it, okay?
Yep.
So just so you know, that sounds to me like you can continuously progress if you chose to over the long haul by doing micro loading. So for me, that word just popped to mind the moment you mentioned that, and I have fractional plates myself. I use them regularly. You know, they can find those things, of course. You mentioned Iron Mind, okay?
Sure.
That's the other thing I want to point out. when you talked about pinching your balls, okay, doing dips
yep.
and using the
yep.
chain, heavy chain when you want to add weight, you know, hanging from your body. Well, I have in my gym bag, it's my personal version, I got it from Iron Mind. I have their dip belt, which that thing's been tested out at like 1,100, 1,200 pounds, and it's just a nylon strap. I mean, there's no pinching
yep.
balls going on at all. So you guys that haven't checked that piece out, you know, for me, I've had leather belts tear and break and weight
yep.
the floor. So a little bit dangerous, okay? So for me, I trust that Iron Mind belt. So Iron Mind, if you're listening to this show, you know, you can get a hold of me. We are still taking on some sponsors for our show. More than happy to talk to you, okay? But that
yeah,
wasn't
and,
even
– yeah.
Yeah. I'm being honest in saying it. You know, I was just telling the truth regardless. You know how it's been with you and I over the years that we've done this show the last couple of years is that I don't mind promoting any company out there that actually has great product. I don't care, you know, whether I get anything with going with them or not. And one of them just happens to be Iron Mind right there. So I'll point it out to you right now. It's a great site. They should find it. Go look it up online. Find the Dip Chin Belt. It's a great one. Get fractional plates. You can find them out there too. They have a whole ton. They have thick bar handles too on Iron Mind. So they have a whole ton of stuff. It might seem pricey to you. I want to point that out too, that these guys out there might not get it. It might seem a little pricey to them, okay? But here's the thing. We're talking about quality, and it's made to last. Those things will not be destroyed in a few years. So that's what I really like about it. So,
well, what you want to do, if you need a thick bar, you can go to any steel shop. And a lot of times they have like a, I don't know if they call it a used bin. We have them here. And it's like stuff that was discarded.
Yeah.
You can find a lot of that out there. Obviously, you're going to have to set it up. You can always have a ring welded on it. I mean, I'm sure they've got, you know, or if you know a welder, they can cut it out. So you'll have something to stop the plates, obviously, from sliding together. But you can also do that with collars. You know, you get a big enough collar, you can run a big collar inside, you can put your plates up against it and lock it down. It's not impossible to do. I will say this, we got a couple people in line, but we also have a really good local welder here that's looking at the Crusher Stone right now. And he might be interested, and this guy's a full-out welder, painter, he can do anything. And he is excellent. So we're waiting by the middle of January to see what he's going to come up with. Also, another thing is, you know, we can build bars. We can do all that stuff. So we might be dabbling into some other stuff, too. Well, we are going to be. It's just going to be a matter of when. And this stuff here, it's a winner. I mean, if you sit in deadlift, whether you're going to do a clean deadlift or you're going to do reverse, and you work on a 2-inch bar for a whole year, all right? Now, obviously, your weights are going to go down. That's just the nature of the beast. But just think about when you get to that weight you used to use with a conventional Olympic bar. There's no way you're going to tell me your whole body has not grown. You're going to get this deep, thick, strong muscle. You're going to be hitting tendon and ligament. And the bellies, man, that's where the injuries happen. And, I mean, look, nothing's ever bulletproof. I mean, I've done all that. I had this. Look. I definitely think I pulled on one side too much, bang, you know,
sure.
But that's neither here nor there, no excuses. But what I'm trying to tell you is you can bulletproof yourself, armor plate yourself doing this stuff just with those bars. And obviously, you know, we haven't got into today. I mean, the next show, I'll make a note of this.
Yes.
We're going to part two.
Yeah.
And we can start talking about the partials and the isometric
yes.
hold and, you know, And you and I will design a program for them, a whole
nice.
Back program. And they can take it. We'll just design one program, and they can take pieces of it and split it off the way they want it. Because, look, John already said, and I'll send it right back to him in a second. Look, he's in a gym. He sees what's going on. I don't go to gyms anymore, okay? My training is strictly here, or if I'm going to somebody's house, you know, we're outside, et cetera, et cetera. Unless it was something so hardcore, or I was like in Iceland and went to Magnus's gym, or if I was in California and John said, I got a great place we can do shit,
sure.
Dynamite. But I won't walk in a commercial gym at all ever again. It just doesn't suit me, and I don't suit them. And with what I want to do, they're not going to want that stuff around. So, and I understand. I totally understand that. But I'll tell you right now, if you go after these movements we talked about, I mean, you go after, you know, a big press, or you go after a close grip row, or, you know, you start working on a glued hand machine, but correctly, have somebody teach you. The same way, you know, you match up stuff like the dip with a bent row. And I'm talking a standard bent row. You want to do something fun? If you got a place that's got car tires, that'll elevate a little bit.
Yeah.
You got a little bit of a partial there, man. You know what the nice thing about it is, too? When you let it down, it's got that bounce to it. See, all these things, yeah. You know, I've talked about this before, John. Yeah. This is my slogan. I say, atmosphere with the equal sign equals attitude. I'm more of a believer now than ever that your outward appearance of your equipment,
yes,
really can change the dynamics, especially when you walk in somewhere and maybe you're just not on cue that night. You know, maybe you had a little bad day, you had a fight with your wife, your girlfriend, you know, your kids fucking threw your favorite shirt out in the trash and laughed at it, you know, as it went down the road, all right? Whatever, okay? Or, you know, when we're running, you got your brand new friggin' car in the driveway and a knee goes right in the side of the door and you're like, you know, you're ready to kill everything in your path. Well, here's the thing, you know, you walk in somewhere, you could have the shittiest day in the world to yourself, and you walk up and you see those tires on that Olympic bar or on that 2-inch bar or 3-inch bar, and tonight's row night, and you're like, oh, man, this is it. You know, suddenly life is real good. You're forgetting all the shit of the day, and that's what this is all about. It, you know, the stuff is always going to be there, but you need to park it. You need to go on and go on your own adventure. This is what weightlifting, they can call whatever they want, physical culture, physical strength. To me, you know what it is? It's life.
Yes.
That's what my chiropractor used to always say to me. Great guy, John Ridge.
Yes.
He'd say to me, you know, we'd be talking and stuff. He goes, Eric, you know what? It's just life. And you got to learn to approach things in that because – you know, like with the shit I had the last 24 hours, man, I was pissed. And then I said, you know what? Whoa, put the brakes on. You know what I mean? It's going to get fixed and you're going to rebound quickly. But the initial hit is what you got to be able to deal with. We've had some stuff here with Alex and stuff. And he unfortunately missed his 300-pound deadlift this past Saturday. He looked to me like he was a little timid about it. He didn't seem like he was here. You can only motivate an individual so much. I think he had it. He pulled it. He just couldn't stand up with it. I was very disappointed. It's been bothering the shit out of me probably more than him since Saturday because we all have failure. I've had tons of failure out there, and I don't call them failures or character builders in my opinion. But that deeply affected me because I put a lot of time into him too. And, he doesn't know, and I'm not even going to say it. We're going to be doing some stuff and we'll see what happens in the next 4 weeks. And I have heard from people, well, he's only 14. I don't give a shit if he's 14 or 40. these things you have to get after quickly and respond to. If you do not, this can cause patterns, and I don't want these patterns in him, and I know he has them to an extent. So these type of tried-and-true movements go along with expert thinking, and you know, I love to hear people say, well, all you do is lift weights. I was like, are you fucked up? Seriously, you don't think I have to think about what I'm going to lift? You don't think that when I go out there and say I get stuck, and I get stuck plenty of times, all right, and I got to say to myself, okay, Eric, what are you going to do now? Are we going to drop the weight? We just going to say, fuck it for tonight and do something else? What? What are we going to do? How are we going to react to salvaging this whole workout and make it a masterpiece? Even if it's not, but I'm going to convince myself that it was. And this is what it's all about. And if you cannot bring yourself to these levels, well, as I say, mediocrity is king, you know, if that's what you want. But, you know, as I say here, we're extraordinary, not ordinary, and that's how I want to live my life, and I want everybody associated with the show like that, and everybody is, and it's the same with Alex. I take things like that to heart. Aha, so see? Heart to heart, like that. Got him. Do you like that metaphor? No, sir, but you know what I'm saying, John? It's like sometimes as a trainer, and just as an individual that's very interested in human beings, I think we have a tendency that when he missed that, it felt like a spike went right through my heart, seriously. And
that's because you're invested in him. You're invested in him, you know?
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I have a, you know, it's hard at times. You got to know this. You know this from being in the profession you're in and being a winner at what you do. Sometimes it's very hard to come down to those levels, man. It is for me, at least, all right? Because I'm trying to train at a fever pitch all the time and train at my levels, which it would destroy him so fast. I mean, he was out with us a few weeks ago. He was okay, but I know it scared the shit out of him because he'd never been around intensity like that. And but I felt he needed to be around that. If he's serious about competing, he's going to meet up with some people. And they're not going to go and pat him on the ass. Believe me, they soon break his head right off his shoulders. So everything we're talking about with the back today,
yes,
lends to everything you want to do. And I just think that I don't know, man. I at times I just – I don't know with me at times, and I think I do it. Maybe I don't put enough emphasis on, okay, this is what we've got to do and why we're doing it. But I always feel I do. I always try to explain things thoroughly. I always try to put people in my shoes, you know, years ago and say, well, this is how I felt. But you know something, and this isn't bragging. You know, I remember when I was 14. If that was me standing where I was when he was coming down my driveway, I probably would have ran at me and said, let's go, I can't wait. He came in very soft, and I had a feeling we had trouble.
Yeah.
I didn't say it, you know what I mean? just a different kid that, you know, me. I always was very, I won't say self-assured, but I wasn't afraid of things. You know, there was things, yeah, obviously there's things that scare you, but I always tried to never let it turn on me. Always try to use it against whatever it was going to be. I've had major chokes all over the place, but I never let myself get in a pattern of that. And I think that's one of the reasons I've lasted so long and be able to do what I've done. Has it been the greatest thing in the world? No, but it's been pretty damn good. But I've got to break him of that. If I can't break him of that, he's not going to be able to stick around. He's just not going to be able to do it. You know. So go ahead, John.
Well, that's the attitude that you're definitely going to have to work on with him. Is a true teacher or a true mentor is going to you'll get it right with him. I know you will. You know, and it's, and it depends on how well he receives it. You know, that's the other part.
Yeah.
You know, so one thing I wanted to leave off on this part one show that we're doing is that when we're talking about bent over rows. You know, the original intent of it was to get close to parallel to the ground with your upper body. That was the original intent. It was not to be, you know, because gravity, you know, of course, is straight up and down, you know, so pulls straight up and down. So you got to get over there a little bit. I mean, not below that, but, you know, you have to approach, you know, that parallel to the ground position, close to it at least. And if you're down there, you're going to get it. You're going to get it right. Okay. You're going to feel it. And it's going to hit some muscle, big time muscle mass. So that's it, Eric. We got to move on
all
now.
Right,
we got to move on.
All
okay.
Right.
And next
all
month,
right.
We're on part two next month. So, you know, I love you guys. I'm thankful that you guys are listening. And, you know, keep the feedback coming to Eric. Keep it coming. We love hearing from you guys.
John, give out all the information, too. I want to do that. I'll give mine. Just hang on, if you would, for a minute, please.
Sure. Once again, intenseheart.com is the website. You can find me at on Facebook under John Hart. That's H-E-A-R-T. Just search John Hart, and you'll see there's an athlete page up there. And I got, you know, a decent amount of followers and a decent amount of information over the years I'm putting up there. It's kind of fun. Instagram, you can find me at WNBF_LA, and that is basically promoting our show that my wife and myself are putting on this upcoming summer, June 18th, out in LA for natural bodybuilding and fitness. That's figure, bikini girls, the whole thing. Promoting the natural end of the sport, of course. And then you can find me on Twitter, at JHartMRA, like Mr. A. And that's it.
Cool. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. Also to Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Don't forget about Hearts Collision. That's for New York State residents. 518-477-7937. Alex and Lori, just tell them I sent you. They will help you out big time. And our new sponsor is Jason Fulner's Plan a Year of Workouts.com. And you can also order it off Amazon Prime for $5. Don't forget, too, he's got 23 years in martial arts, 18 in pumping iron. And this is incredible. It's like Russell Fur says about testosterone dripping through the speakers. This guy listens to Motivation Muscle in a shed in his backyard. God bless him, man. It's like, this is it. I'm telling you, we got the cast. There's no doubt about it. Also, too, let's see. Don't forget, too, obviously, I already said, to download the 10 Top Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. It's a free ebook on Fiorella Barbell Co. I'm telling you right now, it's a game changer. Go out and look at it. The same way with Strength Times Power Equals Success. Obviously, that's in HD. It's shot in. I narrate everything. Dennis, who lost 43 pounds off this program, does it all. And it's not just used for weight loss. I've used this for Alex and all the other people have come over here. It's a killer thing where you can just – it's like everything I do here. You can take everything and plug it in and out. The Winner's Circle, that's 12 modules. I believe he's going to put the 13th one up. I did, and then we're going to sit on it for a while. Everything from the beginning right to where I am now and in between, it's incredible stuff. It's life-changing, and I stand behind everything. Everything on these products I've done. There's no bullshit, no nothing. So check them out. Also, sponsorship. $100 a month for this month in January. You get 5 to 15 shows. I told you, we're going to be around for at least 25 years. We'll be 100 million strong as far as I'm concerned. And $30 of each 100 goes to muscular dystrophy for flu shots for the kids. I'm telling you right now, that's how I lost Jimmy, but I'm trying to help them any way I can. I know a lot of people have made comment that, well, flu shots are no good. I'm not here to fight about any of that, all right? That's what muscular dystrophy and I worked out together. I just wanted everybody to know where their $30 went. I thought it was very important because I like to know where my money goes. So I met with the people, and that's what we came up with. So you know what? For $30, you might be able to save somebody's life. Come aboard with us. We'll work together for 25 years. And remember this, if you need any type of work done as far as logos, things of that nature, Chris Bigelow does everything here. MonsterDevelopment.com. 800-687-1609. I don't believe I said Dr. Wong, or I think I did. I don't even remember. I've done so many of them today. Go out to Dr. Wong's Essentials or Sorenex.com. Don't forget, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've got. If you need to get a hold of me, like John and I do a specific show, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else in there? Oh, yeah. On Facebook, Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. Twitter at Fiorello Eric. And I'll leave you with this. If someone contacts you in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them some words of encouragement. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello or give somebody a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to go out and lift tonight, bust up some big iron like John and I were talking about. Do some pulls.
Yeah.
Do some stop squats. Do some high shrugs, some dips. Get back to the old shit. The old ways are the best ways. They work. And then, obviously, I want you to take some stones and turn them into dust. And as I've said before on the Crusher Stone, we got domination and blood red on both sides. We are domination. We make the path. We don't follow it. We clear cut the path. And as I've said, too, no one is ever going to clip our balls. And as Russell Fur said, when I listen to your show, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. John Hart, obviously, Merry Christmas. Yes. Happy New Year. We'll start 2016 with a bang,
yes,
part two of the back. But thanks for being on the show, my friend.
Thank you, Eric, and Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Love you guys.
Thank you. So for John Hart, to Eric Fiorello, as I said, don't stand on the side of the road and watch it go by. Get into it. Be a spectator. And most of all, Be a steward of strength. Tell everybody about us. We're coming. We are coming. See everybody. Have a great week and enjoy everybody in your.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.